leaving the law library one day. The assistant warden, he's by lockup, right? He sees us walking out of the law library. He calls ahead to the dorm. We're walking out the law library to go to the dorm. He calls ahead to the dorm. And as we get in, mind you, I have a bag that got all my law work in there and all my books and everything. So I had the phone in between there. And that was the first time I did that. Usually I have the phone. Usually I built a little, like a contraption where it's like a pin tied to a sock, and I put it on my belt loop and I put it next to my leg, you know, so whenever they search you, they really don't feel it. You feel me? Unless you got a cop that want to nut check you, right? But this particular day, I had the phone inside, in between my law work in the bag. So,
all right, good afternoon. This is State of Florida versus Steven Testa with multiple cases before the court.
Fire. All right. So just to lean a little bit more into the prison story, and then we'll work on the transition home. Okay. You mentioned that you got knocked off with a pipe, a jack,
yeah,
a cell phone. So go ahead and explain to the viewers, you know, because for those who don't know, as far as like in prison, sometimes having a phone can put a target on your head, you know, especially if you're at the wrong pound and there's not enough phones on the land. You know what I mean? Them boys will run down on you, you know. So so what made you want to get a phone? How'd you go about like getting
the phone,
and then how'd you get knocked off with it? Just go ahead and give us that story.
It's funny because, all right, one thing is, you know what they say, whatever you are on the streets, that's what you are in prison. If you was a smoker, a crackhead, somebody that begged for money all the time in prison, on the streets, you're going to be the same in prison. But if you was a boss, somebody getting money on the streets, you're going to be the same way in prison. Prison is just another world inside of a world. So I say that because it doesn't matter where you are, whatever you are in that space, you're going to fall in line when you get there. My mom, I told you, poor. My girl at the time left me. I was only getting $50 a week from my mom. But I was a cigarette man. I had two phones. Had the G-Shock. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, these things, a G-Shock costs like $500 inside of prison. A cell phone's going to cost you like $1,000 inside of prison. So to answer your question, how did I get these things? You know, again, using my skills, I was helping people fight DRs and everything like that. Okay, helped a couple of big-time players in there get their DRs off. They blessed me with a phone. You know, they also blessed me with also the plug on how to be able to get cigarettes. Because I was a law clerk, I was able to stash the cigarettes inside the law library and everything like that. So the law library kind of was like the trap house in a way, you feel me? The cartons would come in from the maintenance guys. They'd take it out the cooler, put it inside there, and boom. So whenever somebody wanted a pack or whatever the case may be, holler at the law clerk and that he got you, you feel me? But to answer your question, how I got caught with the jack, this is an operation I had going on for about a year, mind you, you know? And again, my family sending me $50 a week, but stayed locker full, stayed dressed afresh and everything like that. And leaving the law library one day, the assistant warden, he's by lockup, right? He sees us walking out of the law library. He calls ahead to the dorm. We're walking out the law library to go to the dorm. He calls ahead to the dorm. And as we get in, mind you, I have a bag that got all my law work in there and all my books and everything. So I had the phone in between there. And that was the first time I did that. Usually I have the phone. Usually I built a little like a contraption where it's like a pin tied to a sock, and I put it on my belt loop and I put it next to my leg, you know, so whenever they search you, they really don't feel it. You feel me? Unless you got a cop that want to nut check you, right? But this particular day, I had the phone inside in between my law work in the bag. So the assistant warden sees us, I'll never forget him. He sees us walking out of the library. He was like, man, let me see what's up. He calls ahead to the dorm. As soon as we get to the dorm, I see the dorm officer gets out, puts gloves on, her and the other one. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. The warden just called to say to search you guys. As soon as she said that, I said, damn. So, you know what I'm saying? I start clutching. I'm like, oh, I forgot something in the law library I need to get. She was like, no, no. He said, no, we got to stop watching. She's like, why, you know, why are you fidgeting? What's up? Let me see this. Give me the dump. Oh, shit. What? Cuff his ass up. And it was a big spectacle. The lawman? You freeing people, not you and Jay, you know? And then, boom. So I end up getting locked up. Then that's when they shipped me to Okeechobee. And the crazy part about it is, when they shipped me, I just won my appeal to go back to court. I just got the letter, like, I think, like, a week before that. So I'm waiting to get transported back to the county. So I go to Okeechobee. I get transferred from box to box. So I'm in the box in Okeechobee. Finally, they let me out of Okeechobee after, like, 2-3 weeks. The day after they let me out, the county come snatch me. So I'm going to county back to the court. Guess what? Classifications talk. I'm in the box inside the county as I'm in court, right? So I'm in the county waiting for my appeal. I did like 3-4 months in the box as well, too, until finally the hole gets lift off and everything like that. But yeah, that's the interesting story as far as the phone. That one phone ended up getting me into 3 boxes in South Florida, Okeechobee, and the county.
That's crazy, yeah, man. All right, so when it comes to, like, on the pound, and we're gonna focus on your transition now. But just last thing, when it comes to being in prison, as far as being a law clerk, were you the number one law clerk on the pound?
I was
trying to bring you the paperwork.
I was, but it was there because, you know, I was the cigarette man too. So, you know, it's kind of like he's the popular law clerk. So it's kind of like, yeah, you feel and. You know, I just had a charismatic personality. I was just, you know, I was just cool with everybody. I'm like, oh, yeah, go to West, you know, the big-headed law clerk. Yeah, he got you, you feel me? So, yeah, I was just that dude that, you know, everybody, but, you know, and I was waxing people, though. You know, you wanted DR, okay, yeah, 500, you know what I'm saying? 1,000, you feel me? You want to get back to, especially when I won my appeal, when I won mine. Oh, yeah, it was over with at that point, yeah.
Explain real briefly before we move on about, like, people who don't understand how, like, being a law clerk in the chain gang can be a hustle. And not only how that's a big way for you to provide for yourself, but how some people can use it in a negative way. Obviously, like, you were probably doing the right thing, I'm sure, because your character trying to really help people out. Of course, you know, making a dollar at the same time.
Right,
but then there's other people who are just putting in bold record appeals, just trying to run up a bag, and they got, like, a bad reputation just for trying to run up a bag.
You know, you're right. You know, there's plenty of law clerks, plenty of instances out there. But, you know, one thing you realize in prison, everybody wants hope. Everybody. And I say this because, and sometimes you don't want to be the person that kill that hope, boy. You just do not. Because it's the same thing when I was fighting my case. And I went to a senior law clerk and he was like, nah, you don't got nothing. And you know what I'm saying? You're like, But I was able to get myself back to court pro se. So you kind of realize, like, damn, man, you don't want to kill nobody's hope. So to answer your question, you know, for the most part, yeah, I was helping folks. But was there situations where it'd be like, okay, hey, Wes, man, fight this DR for me, man. I got 5 tuners for you. You're looking at it, you know, as I tell inmates, you know, they don't write these DRs to lose. They know how to, you know. So there was some instances where it's just like, all right, man, pay me the 5 tuners, but, you know, hey, I'm gonna write it up for you. So you paying for my time at the end of the day, you know. But, man, prison is a house full of criminals. So, you know, that's one thing you got to realize. It's a house full of criminals. You cannot go in there being a sheep, you know, at the end of the day. So although your intentions are as good, you got to realize, you know, you got to learn how to dance with the devil if you want to survive in that particular environment, too. You feel me?
Fire, bro. All right. So coming home after a long bid, what was the anticipation coming home? Were you excited? Were you nervous? And then what did the transition home look like? And then take us through that process and then let us segue into, like, everything you're doing now.
Well, coming home, work really saved me, because if it wasn't for work, really, you know, think about it. Just go from 9 years, any type of long extended period of time, into one environment and just to immediately put that person in another, and to expect a sudden, you know, adapt to it. Nah, that's unrealistic, which I think that's the reason why there's such a high degree of recidivism when it comes to prison, because, you know, you got to meet certain elements to get into work release. But to answer your question, work release was that saving grace, because, again, the last 2 years, I'm going to work. I'm around people. I'm around women. I'm around, you know, normal society. You feel me? Although my ways are a little outdated, my dress code and my language and, you know, my swag is a little outdated, but I was able to catch up real quick, you know. So when I got out, and of course, in work release, they allow you to have a phone. You're allowed to have one. So, you know, I had a girl at the time. So now you're in work release, making money and your relationship. You're going to, you know, you're able to go to Walmart. So that was the biggest clutch help right there. You feel me? If it wasn't for work release, I don't know, bro, because I would have gotten out with bad credit. I would have gotten out institutionalized. And I would have been like, oh, hell nah, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I probably would have tried to carry a shank with me somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It's just you realize that, to answer your question, that work release was that saving grace for me. Yeah. Yeah, real talk.
As far as so getting out of work release, you know, what was the transition like getting fully out? You know, when did you, I know you mentioned your businesses and things like that. So how did all that transpire to where you're at now?
Man, I kind of hit, it was slow at the beginning because I got out in October and the pandemic came in March. So literally I got out from one lockdown to get into another lockdown.
Oh, dang, so you got out and then COVID hit.
The whole bomb, right? Yeah. So that was killer because when I got out, I still worked as a server. And then when the pandemic came, you know, we're the first ones to, y'all go home, you know, all restaurants closed in the country. So I'm home, you know, stimulus money coming in. I didn't know what to do. So it was just my friend that said, man, let's do credit repair. So, again, since I did mine, that's what the lane I tapped into. But when I first came home, I was just happy to come home. You know, my last year in work release, I was ordering a bunch of books, you know, books on how to podcast, how to day trade, how to be a social media manager. I was just, you know, because I'm going to work, I'm with society. So I'm like, okay, boom, this is what everybody doing. Okay, let me read up on it. Let me go on Google. Let me, whatever the case may be. So to answer your question, I wasn't too behind on the curve when I got home as far as how society runs. I just had to find my way, which I knew when I got out, I was like, okay, I knew I wanted to do some like content. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I knew I wanted, you know, to be a speaker. I knew I wanted to do these things. I just got to find a lane to do so. And when the pandemic came, I was like, okay, personal finance and credit, that's the lane. And then boom. And I just took off ever since after that.
So what are you doing now today? And where can people find you at? And what do you got like coming, bro? What's coming like in the future?
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, you know, right now, as I mentioned, serial entrepreneur, my baby. As you can see, let me go ahead and show it in the camera. For those that don't know, Tico the Panda, that's the mascot for my tech company, Uptrend Credit, which the purpose our goal for Uptrend Credit is to overtake Credit Karma. You know, for those that don't know, Credit Karma is a personal finance credit monitoring company that was bought by Intuit back in 2020 for nearly $8 billion. And they are the leader in our space where it comes to, you know, educating or having people being able to see their credit. But most people don't understand credit. And even my first engagement with Credit Karma, I'm like, man, this platform sucks. So just like any entrepreneur, like any businessman, whether you're Elon Musk or you know, a kid that's want to start his first lemonade stand, you start that lemonade stand because you realize there's a problem, so I want to create a solution. Problem is, every summer that the people are thirsty, so the solution is I'm going to create a lemonade stand. Same thing with me, I seen them. There's a problem with Credit Karma. I'm going to create a solution of a better platform and a better solution. So what separates ours is that, you know, not only are you able to get your credit scores, but we also want to educate you on credit by allowing you to see your credit grades, be able to improve your credit by reporting your rent, and also financial literacy programs. So, and I say this is because, you know, financial literacy is not taught to us coming out of school. That's something you got to learn as you going through life. And I always say this, if you knew what you knew financial-wise, if you had your mind today when you was a young adult, your whole life would have changed, right? So that's the main reason why I'm doing it, to repair the financial trauma that us convicts, minorities, just suffering from. And so with that being said, also in conjunction with that, I have my podcast, my media company, Respect My Blueprint. It's a podcast where we have successful entrepreneurs come and share their blueprint to success. We have entrepreneurs as well as entertainers across all industries, and we want to hear their rags to riches story. So those are my two main platforms. Of course, the podcast, I want to be bigger than Joe Rogan. That's the goal, right? And I just mentioned the goal for Uptrend Credit. And one thing I can say this, in my mind, I don't know about you watching this. I don't know about everybody else in this room or everybody else in the world. I don't care. I'm going to achieve those goals. So that's what it is.
Fire, bro. Lastly, what would you say to two people groups? Number one would be those who are still incarcerated, our fellow convicts, man. What message would you give to them for those who are still doing time, who may be there for a while, or those coming home? What would be your message to them to inspire and to empower them? And then also, too, what would be your message to society who kind of has like a negative perspective upon people like us, convicts, reentering back into society? What would you address to both people groups?
Simple. If I can do it, you can do it. And I say that for both groups. Number one, the convicts, you know what I'm saying? Again, especially in our culture, it's easy to look up to, the entertainers or, the people coming from the streets as you idolize, people playing ball or just, getting money to. I'm doing this to let you know that there's another lane you could tap into, and that's entrepreneurship. You know what I'm saying? So just like how some of these are favorite entertainers transitioning into business, Rick Ross, Jay-Z. There's even, platforms like Earn Your Leisure. You also see wealthy, black entrepreneurs like Robert Smith that we're unaware of. And, the rise of, just minority media and how much our voice is pushing. So to answer your question, to the convicts in there that's watching this, my message to you, if I can do it, you can do it. And we're talking about, unpopular, out of shape, not academically talented or not talented sports wise, right? And made it through a troubled childhood with those things behind him dealing with, to be able to go ahead and make something of himself. Although I'm not going to sit here and toot my own horn and be like, oh yeah, I'm Jack Cousteau and everything, but for where I came from to where I'm at right now, and nothing was given to me, I had to earn it every single step of the way. Again, by that, I give no excuses to anybody. So that's number one. And number two, the people that's doubting on the flip side of the coin, again, if I can do it, you can do it. A lot of people on the other side of the coin feels like that, oh, he a convict, he ain't nothing. He'll be back to, But again, it's all about the energy you give out there. If you put positive energy out there, that's the energy you're going to give back. So I feel like, again, based upon the system needs to push more into just, okay, pushing platforms, messages like this, empowerment, enlightenment, and then boom, we'll see less and less brothers being locked up inside the system. You feel me? Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Wes Paul, your Blueprint Mastermind, and this is the Incarceration Podcast.